Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, Daniel Roth.
Hello.
Now, you've been on the show a couple of times, and we've talked about a variety of things. We've talked about the latest dots.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a dot, which is very interesting.
This is a very big dot.
It's a very big dot, like,
yeah,
that's true.
Yes, yes.
It's a sizable dot.
Yes.
But you're on the show today to talk about ASP.NET 5, and that's something that everyone out there is really interested in.
It's very new.
It's new. It's shiny.
It's pretty crazy stuff. It's pretty exciting stuff, honestly. I don't think there's been anything I've worked on at Microsoft that's exciting as this is.
I think he's brilliant.
Wow.
This thing's pretty awesome.
And you've worked on a lot of stuff at Microsoft.
I have worked on a few things at Microsoft.
Just a couple.
Yes.
Awesome. So you're here to talk about five things about ASP.NET 5?
Five things about ASP.NET 5.
That's brilliant.
Try to keep it, you know, nice and nice packaged. And these things are going to blow your mind. These are five things about ASP.NET 5 that will blow your mind. Like, every time I talk about these things or just think about them again, I'm like, I can't believe that we are doing these things with .NET, with ASP.NET. It's fantastic.
Cool. So if you're not on the edge of your seat yet, you might want to start moving forward.
Not to set expectations too high.
It's like, by the way, you may need to put sunglasses on for this.
Yeah.
All right, so what is the first thing that will blow our mind?
The first thing that's going to blow your mind is that this is a completely new and very fast HTTP pipeline for building web applications.
Cool.
And what I mean by new is completely new. Like, there is no system.web.dll in this stack. This thing has really been reimagined from the bottom up. Now, that's not to say that we don't love systemweb.dll. We still love systemweb.dll, and it will be supported for the foreseeable future. For WebForms customers, actually in .NET 4.6, there's a bunch of new cool features like support for HTTP 2.0, async model binding, the new Roslyn codom provider, so you can use like C# 6 features in your WebForms applications. There was a good, all those things were announced at the Visual Studio Connect event back in November. So there's some good videos online you can watch to learn about all those new features.
Cool.
But this is completely new. This is something that takes what we learned from the Katana project, if you've followed along with that, where we, you know, did some work with Owen and made it so that you could run ASP.NET stuff outside of IIS, a lightweight middleware model. We took the learnings from that and we've really taken it to the next level, and that's what we're calling ASP.NET 5. So the big major version number, it's a new major version number for a reason, because this is your granddaddy's ASP.NET.
We almost should have called it ASP.NET 11, because we've turned it up to 11.
Yes, that's right. Not 10 even.
Not 10.
Not 10. 11. 11. That's right. Should I show you a few things just to get you started? But what do I mean by a completely new HTTP request pipeline and fast? So let's just create a new project. First of all, to get started with these bits are completely available to you now. You can do everything that I'm doing yourself. This is all based off of the Visual Studio 2015 CTP6 preview.
Cool.
So all public bits, and everything we're doing is public anyway. So even the latest, greatest stuff you can actually find. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a web app, just like you would normally. And this is going to take me into the one ASP.NET dialog. Now, you'll notice, though, it's been split into the ASP.NET 4.6 set of technologies, MVC, web forms, web pages, all those type of things are at the top. And at the bottom is the ASP.NET 5 preview set of templates.
Brilliant.
Let's start with empty so we get our feet wet slowly. And this is going to create me a new application. And some of these things, if you've played around with Katana, it should look familiar, and there'll be some things that'll be like, wow, that's completely new. What is that? I don't really know much about that. So this is a startup class.
Mm-hmm.
That part should look familiar. Yeah. Is this big enough? Do I need to make this bigger? Is that the?
You could pop it up to 150 if you wanted.
Pop it up to.
Oh.
Let me do
you
the
could
whole.
Just do the zoom.
Well, I know, but then it doesn't stick. Does it stick? And this usually works very well. I love the little quick launch thing in the top. If you don't know that,
it's the lesser known feature, and it is incredible.
See that now.
Look at that. Just quickly.
Permanently. All right. So this is a startup class. And it looks like a startup class from Katana, with a minor difference that in addition to your configure method, think it's actually called configuration in Katana. I don't know why. That's a noun. It's not a verb. Who did that? Anyway, so in ASP.NET 5, it's a verb, like it should be, because it's a method. But there's also this configure services method. So what is that? Well, in ASP.NET 5, in addition to the new pipeline, dependency injection has been wired throughout the stack. So this is where you would go configure services that you want to be available through DI. And there's actually a little mini IOC container that comes with the stack by default. You can really easily replace it with AutoFac or Ninject or your favorite IOC container. But the whole stack has been rewritten now with DI in mind. So that's what that top method is.
For those of you out there that don't know, IOC container is an inversion of control container.
Yes.
And you mentioned a couple. You said Ninject.
AutoFac, Ninject.
Yeah. So we'll get a few links out there. Just in case you don't know, you can go check them out. Because dependency injection is a really crazy awesome thing.
It is pretty awesome. Like when the stack produces instances, you can really easily inject services that those components depend upon. It makes it much easier to then unit test your applications because you can just new up the instance, mock out the services it depends on, and away you go.
Cool.
So it's pretty convenient. But in my configure method, this is where I'm going to wire up my middleware pipeline, like the things that I want to happen when an HP request comes in. And you'll notice that by default, there's nothing. And this is really different than system web. Like system web, there's actually quite a few things quite a few things that happen in the stack before you even get to your code. And there's honestly not much you can do about it. And that affects performance. If you really want to take ASP.NET 5 and tear out everything except for just the bare minimum of what your app needs and run with bare metal performance, that is now possible. One of the technologies we use in ASP.NET 5 to run like an IIS, mm-hmm. we do a little dance with the existing ASP.NET stack so that we can bootstrap ASP.NET 5, but without having to pay the overhead of loading system web. And that results in some really nice performance numbers. Let me pop up this. This is a blog post that one of our devs did, Levi Broderick, about the, we call it the Helios loader. Mm-hmm. And if we go down here and look at some of the performance numbers, like per request, if you're system web-based, there's about 30 kilobytes per request that will get allocated. Mm-hmm. In this new ASP.NET 5 stack using the Helios loader, about a K gets allocated. So huge reduction in memory usage. If you were to load up your site with 50,000 requests, this roughly equates to about saving a gig of memory, so much better scale out.
Nice.
Also, the startup performance with ASP.NET 5 dramatically being improved. We have an MVC Music Store sample app out there that if you do a cold start boot of that app, it takes about 13, 14 seconds to get that guy up and running. With an ASP.NET 5-based version of that application, we've got it down to just over 4 seconds, and we expect it to go down even further.
Cool.
So pretty cool in terms of getting lightweight and fast. So let's actually write some code now. Let's see if we can get something running. I'm going to do just the dirt simple thing for how you can just return a response. Everything's async in this world. I'm just going to take in the context object and do something asynchronous with it. That's your this context object is your HTTP context object in mm-hmm. the new world. There it is, HTTP context.
Cool.
And I'm going to await context.response. Now this is not your HTTP context.current, right? That's system web.
Yep.
So in this world, if you have code that's written against HTTP context.current and HTTP modules and HTTP handlers, that's not this. This is completely new. where did that stuff go? Well, you write middleware now. You write these components that are very modular and they just compose. And everything we're doing in the stack is written this way. We provide you a whole bunch of middleware for dealing with static files. With diagnostics, routing, security, a whole suite of middleware that you can just use.
Would you say session state is one of those?
Session state is one of those. I'll show you that in a second. We can do session state, no problem. So let's see, response.writeasync, hello, webcamps, TV. All right, and I'm going to run this. And let's see what we get. All right, so
sweet.
Pretty simple.
Nice.
Now, that's just obviously your Hello World version of getting an app running.
Yep.
The thing that I love about this model, though, the things we're doing with ASP.NET 5 is we've really simplified what it means to write an app. Let's go now take a look at the project, the things that you actually had to do in order to get this app up and running. Mm-hmm. Let me close this down. Now, if we look at this empty web app, there's really very little in here. There's my startup class. We looked at that. There's some like project README file that's doesn't even render when I click on it, but that's like supposed to tell you like, welcome to ASP.NET 5. Here's a bunch of links. And then there's this new project.json file. This is a new artifact. Mm-hmm. And you can think of this as just like a simple piece of JSON that declares what are the dependencies of your application? What NuGet packages, really, does your application depend on? And it's all NuGet in ASP.NET 5. NuGet is really a first-class citizen in this world. And that's really about it, what your dependencies are. What if you can also specify you want to build for multiple target frameworks, where you want to serve your web content from. So that's kind of interesting concept. Let me fire this up again. You saw that there was that HTML file just sort of sitting at the root directory, so surely I should be able to go, what was it, project readme?
Project underscore readme dot HTML.
No. Now, the startup class is going to swallow every single request that comes in. So let me just comment this guy out. Save. And then let's hit, should be nothing there now. Okay, now project readme dot HTML. And still nothing there. I mean, it looks like if you're familiar with the existing ASP.NET stack, you would say, well, that file should be served. Like, yeah. Why isn't it being served? Well, there's this nice separation now in ASP.NET 5 projects where everything that you want to actually be exposed through the public endpoint is all done through this www root folder. And in fact, that's a configurable concept. You saw it in Project JSON. This is saying, this is where my stuff is that I actually want to surface to the world. If I move this file up into here, so now it should be, cancel, did not mean to drag that. There it is. And now we try this again. So now I see the file.
Brilliant.
And I'll move it back. And it's gone. So that's a, it should be gone.
Build.
What the dirt? Is it because it's cached? There we go. Yeah, it was just Control F5 to get it out of the cache. All right, so that's one thing that you might get bitten by. You might think, if I put my scripts folder inside the project, that's those files will get served. No, there's this nice separation, so you can feel really comfortable that my app code and my web content are really separate. Yeah.
And that's important because, I mean, when you went and just uploaded everything that was in the root directory, you got development time dependencies and all this other stuff that you're pushing out to your production server, which isn't really going to do you much good. So having that separation means, like, if you do have a build process, like you're using Grunt or Gulp or anything along those lines to actually go and set up all your client-side dependencies, you can get the actual files that you need, like the .min files, into that www root folder.
That's part of your build, yep.
All the rest of the files that come with it, like the map files and like the fully expanded debug version and all that, don't go to your production server.
That's right. So nice separation. Actually, there's a bunch of new tooling in ASP.NET 5, specifically around those client-side workflows, like Grunt and Gulp are now first-class citizens in this world, using Bower for package management.
So we had Mads Christensen in a couple weeks back,
and he went through all of it.
It was
awesome.
Really
good. All right, so let's add some other stuff other than just like Hello World. Let's add some middleware. So let me go into my project JSON, and this is kind of nice. Now, if I want to add middleware, I can just do it right here in project JSON, and I'll get IntelliSense.
Nice.
So Microsoft ASP.NET.diagnostics is a NuGet package that contains middleware that will enable like an error page and also like a simple welcome page to let you know your server is running.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's use that. So and the operative word is use, just like in Katana. So app.use welcome page is one of the pieces of middleware that you can use from that package. I'm going to go ahead and save that. Let's run the app. And so now instead of like hello world, this is just a nice little welcome page for your application. And you can write other middleware around this guy. You can like modify headers. The order of the middleware matters. Mm-hmm. And so you basically have a pipeline where the request will flow through the middleware. Each piece of middleware has access to the HTTP context. It can decide what to do with it, set response headers to mess with the request. And then each piece of middleware also can decide that if it wants to just terminate the request there and respond immediately, has the option to do that as well. Like this welcome page is effectively that kind of middleware. That little app.run is also like that as well. It's basically consuming the request instead of being passed through, instead of calling the next guy.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
All right. So this is, you know, simple, lightweight HP request pipeline. It's actually running inside of IIS Express. I think, do I still have IIS? Did I close it down? No, IIS Express is still up here and running. Mm-hmm. That's what we're hosted inside of right now. But with ASP.NET 5, the pipeline isn't tied to IIS the way that the existing ASP.NET stack is. Like, system web means you got to run in IIS. If you wanted to run outside of IIS, then you had to go look at Katana or do something else, and not everything worked there. Like, if you wanted to run an MVC app outside of IIS, that just wasn't supported. That wasn't a scenario that you could do. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. With ASP.NET 5, you can run this thing anywhere. And then we're going to set that up. I'm going to show you how to do it. Our templates actually, like the starter web template, will have what I'm about to do already set up for you. But I'm going to walk you through what this really means. So first of all, in addition to having a dependency on the IIS server, like in addition to being able to run on top of IIS, that's what this dependency means. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to set up a dependency so I can run on top of a different server, which is we call the web listener server.
Okay.
ASP.NET server, there it is. Okay, so web listener, it's kind of like HTTP listener, like in the .NET framework,
yep.
Except it's been made much tighter to HTTP sys to improve its performance. Like, we get phenomenal throughput numbers with web listener. It's really, really fast. And so you can run on top of IIS, or you can run on top of web listener. That's another option for you if you wanted to self-host your application in your own process.
Cool.
That might be something you would do if running on IIS isn't an option. In general, if you can run on IIS, we actually recommend you should. That's a good thing to do. There's a bunch of features that IIS brings to the table that you're not going to get once you go self-hosted. Like, IIS will manage your process for you.
Yeah.
IIS will give you a nice management experience, help you with server certificates, and it actually has really, really good components for dealing with static files that are like down in the kernel and crazy stuff like that.
Yeah.
But if you, for whatever reason, can't run an IIS, like you're an ISV and you don't want to have your customers deploy IIS in order to consume your product, you know, those type of things, then mm-hmm. self-hosting is certainly an option, and it's fully supported.
Cool.
So let's do that. So I've set up I've added a dependency to the new server, and then what I'm going to do is add something that's called a command in ASP.NET 5. So I'm going to add a command, and commands are actually a really simple concept. They're just a command has a name, so in this case I'm creating a web command, and then you hand it basically an assembly. You can think of it as like an assembly. Mm-hmm. And this assembly is just an assembly that has a static void main entry point, kind of like a little console app.
Yep.
And so when you execute this command, which I'll show you how to do in a second, all it's going to do is going to call into that assembly like a console app. Mm-hmm. So in this case, the assembly I'm going to use, the command implementation, is the microsoft.aspnet.hosting. That's the dependency. And this is a dependency you do need to declare. It happens to be brought in by this diagnostics package, so I don't need to do that. Everything we do with NuGet in this world is transitive. You just declare your top-level dependencies, and we'll figure it all out. Kind of like writing a new spec file.
Cool.
Just declare your dependencies.
Yep.
And then after the command implementation, you can then just pass command line arguments like you would to a command line utility. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to specify which server. So I'm saying here I want to use ASP.NET hosting, and then I want to use this web listener server. There it is. And then I'm also going to tell it what address that I want it to host on. Localhost, I don't know, 5003, say.
OK? Yep.
So there. So I've defined a command. And the cool thing is that VS actually knows about these commands. And we you can do commands for like running tests, commands for running like EF migrations, commands for whatever little dev tooling makes sense for your app. Mm-hmm. You can write your own. Like, this is just one that we happen to wrote for doing hosting. And if I go to this dropdown, it did not pick up. Why didn't you pick up? Did I just save? I saved. Oh, well, it would help if I actually put it in the commands section instead of just having it sitting out there. So yeah. You add a command section in your project JSON file. You don't need that trailing semicolon comma now. OK. And VS knows about these things. And notice it just pops up now in my run dialog. So in addition to running on IIS, this app is now set up to alternatively run using web listener. So I'm going to select that. So we've wired up the command. Now I hit Control F5 to run that. And it pops up self-hosted. So
cool.
that started means that it actually started up the web listener. And now if I browse, let's use a impartial third-party browser. I think I wired it up to 5005 this time. And voila, so there's the same running application.
Brilliant.
And what I love, let me kill this guy and go to the folder with all where all the stuff is for this application. Now, mm-hmm. now there's some things here that get added to this application purely for VS that aren't really needed to run the application at all. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, even the like the in this case it's a kproj, the project file for Visual Studio, you don't need that to run the application. Startup, we'll need that. This project.readme, we don't need that to run the application. We will need the www root because that's referenced by our project.json. This properties folder doesn't have anything in it. That's honestly all we need. And then we can run the same application directly from the command line. There's a runner that knows how to run those commands that you define in your project.json. So let me go back to that folder. I think it was 7, right? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, so all we've got now is project JSON, a startup file, and a web root for the application.
Yep.
And we can do kweb. K is the runner yep. that you use to run those commands. Run kweb, that does exactly the same thing that Visual Studio was doing. We try to have that parity where you can do everything on the command line that you can do in Visual Studio, yeah. and you have just really lightweight application. It's still running. You know, some people would say it's kind of node-like. Like all you need is a little bit of code, a little bit of JSON just to define your dependencies, and you're good to go.
Cool.
And let's see it actually run.
For the audience, because you just went and typed kweb, that web was actually the command that we referenced in our project JSON or pack. Yeah, project JSON.
Project JSON file. Yeah, you want to see that again here? It was more. So there it is. So there's this web command underneath yep. the command section.
So if you were to name that something arbitrary, when you go to try and run it from the command line, you say K and then arbitrary.
K foo, yep. K test, K yep. ef, you know, whatever particular command you're trying to run.
Exactly. Perfect. Yep.
So that's the new lightweight pipeline. You can also publish this to Azure. Should mm-hmm. I do that real fast?
Sure.
So let's see. It's the same as a flow for any existing ASP.NET application. I'm just going to right click, publish. And let's pick an Azure website.
Right. Which are now referred to as Azure Web Apps.
Oh, app yeah. Service app. That's right. Yeah, this is a CTP6 build, and I'm so used to saying that. So I don't know. Simple ASP.NET 5. How about that? Is that going to? Yeah,
works.
Cool. All
nice.
Right. We don't need a database for this particular application. We do need to pick a region. And let's create that. And what's going to happen when we publish is this is going to bundle up the whole application. Mm-hmm. It'll look in Project JSON and figure out the packages that this app needs in order to run. It'll bundle that up with the application as well. And we'll push it up to the server, and it should work just fine.
Cool.
All right, so we've got all the settings. I'm going to go ahead and go. And then we'll just let that run. And when it actually pops up, we'll come back to it initially.
Yeah, so
it takes a few seconds for it to package everything up and push it up to the server.
Cool.
All right. So that's number one. That's your new fast HTTP request pipeline.
Yep.
All right. Number two. There's a new unified web stack in ASP.NET 5. It is, you know, imagine you take MVC and you take Web API and Web Pages and you put them all together into one beautiful package with a ribbon on top. That's what we're building in ASP.NET 5. We actually do call it an MVC still. It's MVC 6. The next version of MVC is all three of those frameworks put together. It can do Web UI, mm-hmm. and it can do Web APIs, all with one framework.
So this is kind of the continuation of the one ASP.NET vision that started back when Visual 2013 was released. Kind of thing?
Absolutely. Yes. Like it's one ASP.NET, not only from like you know tooling perspective and being able to use multiple frameworks together. Now it's literally the framework.
Yes.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
All right. Great. Let's see. Let me just see if that actually went up. Simple ASP.NET 5.Azure. Well, the website's been created.
It was created. Oh, it's still going.
Yeah, all right. So sideways. Okay, anyway, so let's take a look now at MVC6. Mm-hmm. All right, so to do that, I'm going to create a new project. Let me leave this guy running since it's still publishing. We're going to file a new project, and again, create a web app. Instead of creating an empty web app, this time we're going to create a starter web app. And this is going to have all the bells and whistles, right? This is going to have MVC6 in it. It's going to have ASP.NET Identity wired up, mm-hmm. ASP.NET Identity 3. It's a new version of Identity specifically for ASP.NET 5. It's going to have static file middleware wired up, Bootstrap, all the, you know, the Gulp and Grunt and Bower components, so you can do client, rich client-side development. That's all going to be in this project. So it's going to have a lot more stuff. And again, you can, you, if you need it, you just add it, and that's what this template does. If you don't want it, you just remove it, and you can get all the way down to empty if you really want to have that bare metal performance. Okay, so let's just run this application so we can see what it looks like. What does this application have? This is going to have Bootstrap styling. It's going to be touch enabled. It's going to have ability to register users and log in. All right, so there we go. So we can swipe around. Mm. We can register users and so forth. So it's got identity wired up. Database is needed for this particular application. That's all wonderful. All right, so what I'm going to do, this is currently just doing web UI. It doesn't have any web API stuff in it. So let's add some web API stuff. Now I'm going to go to the home controller on this this application. And what I'm about to do, you probably wouldn't factor your code exactly this way, but just to prove a point,
yes,
okay, that you can do this now. Before, with Web API and MVC, if you want to do web APIs, you derive from API controller.
Yep.
If you want to do MVC stuff, you derive from controller. And one had, you know, views and form posts and that, and the other one had like formatting, JSON, XML, and all that kind of stuff. But they weren't, you couldn't like have a mixture of actions. Like MVC didn't do content negotiation. That was a web API thing. And MVC web API didn't do like Razor views. That was an MVC thing. Well, that's no longer the case. So what we're going to do here, I'm going to be a little bit hacky and just go ahead and define a simple little model type right here.
You might want to do that within the context of the class.
In the context of the class?
Yeah, you're in the namespace right now.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want a new class, public class.
Oh, you're making a new class. Gotcha.
Value, and let's give it a, int prop int ID, and let's give it a string text. Okay, so I got some little simple data type. And now let's go to my controller, and I'm going to add a action that's going to return a value. Mm-hmm. Let's call it get value. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to return a new value where the ID is going to be the ID and the text is going to be, let's use a C# 6 feature. You got ID. Seen that before?
No, but that's really cool.
Isn't that funky? I'd never seen that before until actually fairly recently. But I guess it's been around for a while. That'll do like the format string trickery and
cool.
The value. Okay, and then we need a route for this action. So we know, how do we get there with the request.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to say HTTP get, because it's an HTTP get action. And let's define the route as values. How about that? Mm-hmm. And we need an ID. So let's do it like that. Okay? I'm going to save. Now, one thing, I don't know if you've noticed that I'm not like rebuilding. Like, I'm just going to save. And this works with all the ASP.NET 5 projects. Like, as soon as I save, VS detects that, something's changed. And it'll actually restart the application. So you can get that, like, edit the code, save, and then F5 the browser experience.
Mm-hmm.
Using a compiled language, C#, that's the kind of experience you expect from like Ruby or JavaScript or Python or something like that. But this is now, I'm doing it with C# from within VS for ASP.NET 5, which is kind of fun. All right, so let's see if it actually works. So API values, 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
There. Now IE, unfortunately, this will work. Like I can open this. There's my values.
Cool.
One of the things I hear that people complain about a little bit with web API as it stands today is that they like to test their web APIs in Chrome, but when they do that, they get JSON back. Let's see if I don't remember if we actually fixed this bug. I'm gonna have to cut this part if I got this wrong. No, yeah, okay. So in Chrome now, we're getting JSON back from the browser. Like, how does that work? Like, normally with Chrome, you would get XML back from a web API call if you didn't do anything with the accept headers. And that's because Chrome actually sends an accept header by default that says, if you've got HTML, give me that. If you've got XHTML, give me that. If you've got XML, give me that. Otherwise, give me whatever else you got.
Yep.
And so web API, being a good content negotiation citizen, would see, you're happy with XML. Well, here is XML. We now do some stuff to detect that, oh, this is a browser, they probably actually want JSON in the browser. And so like if you put a wildcard in your accept header, it'll return you JSON. But the long story short is if you're playing around with Chrome and web APIs, you'll now get JSON by default, so it's a little easier for you to debug. No pointy
awesome.
Brackets. All right, so that's formatting, content negotiation, all from the same controller. Like to prove that we actually still can do ConEgg, let me go up into the startup class. And we'll go into that configure services section. Let's say, and we do services.configure. This is how you configure your MVC options. This is we call this the option pattern in ASP.NET 5. And so I want to configure my MVC options. So configure of T is the magic gesture. Okay. And that's going to give me a little, I have to write a little action here that takes in the options object. Let's call it options so it's obvious. And then we're going to say options. I actually have to add the XML formatter in MVC 6. We even took it out of the list by default to have a nice clean set of dependencies.
Nice.
So let's add that in. All right. And let's double check that Chrome is still, you know, doing the right thing. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so that's working, right? You can see that it returned 1, 2, 3, 4. Now let's pop up everyone's favorite HTTP tool for like messing around with headers, those types of things. I'm gonna pop open Fiddler. We'll stop capturing, and let's get the composer out. API values, 5, 4, something. And we'll say, I accept application/XML.
Yep.
And voila. We get XML back in the raw, if you see it right there.
So, brilliant.
So content negotiation, formatting, that all now works on any of your controllers. You don't have to have separate controller types. You can have web APIs that can render views. You can have MVC controllers that have web API content on them. It's all one framework. And that's really nice, because that means like a lot of the concepts that before we had duplicated, like filters, routing, URL helpers, those were things that were similar in Web API and MVC, but they were different, which meant actually two code bases, which meant twice the work for us and half as many features for you. Like that is now all unified into one happy framework.
And I remember actually the one of the shows that you came on and did was the most anticipated show ever, which was authentication in Web API.
Yeah,
it was like everyone wanted to know because they're like, oh, I'm building web APIs. How do I go and authenticate? And because there were two different code bases, the authentication stuff from MVC had to be ported towards web API. But now, nice unified code base, one authentication factor altogether, right?
One system.
One
yes.
model.
And it's definitely big in efficiency. Also, it's less confusing for people who are trying to get their heads around what do I use for what? Do I use web API? Do I use MVC?
Yeah. Great.
All right, so that was number two. Number three, bring your own CLR. Like, what does this mean? So I told you we did everything is new. Let me close down Fiddler. Everything is new in this stack, all the way down even to the CLR and the CLR host itself. Like, we've gone that deep.
Yeah.
We run on top of .NET Core. ASP.NET 5 supports .NET Core. What is .NET Core if you haven't heard about it yet? .NET Core is a new slimmed down CLR, and then it's been completely refactored so that what you normally think of as the base class libraries, right, like dictionary, string, and those type of things, are now factored out as NuGet packages. And you can pull as many of those NuGet packages into your app as makes sense, and then you can just leave the rest out if you don't use those. Mm-hmm. And that's really nice because that means, first of all, the pieces of the .NET framework can iterate faster. You can now get updates much quicker. It's just a NuGet package update away. It means that your app only exposes as much surface area as you actually are using. Like, if you're running a web application, you're probably not using, say, WPF.
Yeah.
But what if there was like a Windows, Microsoft update patch or something like that for WPF? Well, guess what? Your app's going to get updated on the server because it's all one big .NET framework.
Yeah.
With .NET Core, that's no longer an issue. You can pull in just the pieces that you need. That also makes your app more efficient because you don't have as much stuff just kicking around. We support the full .NET Core story.
Cool.
Now, .NET Core, it's core, called Core for a reason, because it is a core set of APIs from the full .NET framework, like the thing that ships with Windows. Yeah. We also support running on the .NET framework CLR. So you can run on either. You have a choice. If you run on the .NET framework, then you get the highest level of compatibility. Like the API surface area is the same. You can take binaries that you're using today and run them on top of the .NET framework inside your ASP.NET 5 app, and that just works. Mm-hmm. Those binaries may not work in the .NET Core world because things had to be refactored in order to, you know, shuffled around a little bit to enable that level of factoring. Yeah, so some of the APIs got moved a bit here and there. You might have to recompile some of your and update some of your dependencies to actually run on .NET Core. Okay. But if you can run on .NET Core, that means you can support true side-by-side versioning. You can literally ship with your app the version of this core CLR itself and your dependencies that your app uses, and it can live happily in its own little world and not affect anyone else in the box.
Speaking of happily in your own little world, I noticed you have a USB key.
I have a USB key.
Is that a world of in itself?
This is its own little world, right? Like what I did with this USB key is I took an ASP.NET 5 app. Actually, I have two ASP.NET 5 apps on this USB key. One was written with the latest beta 3 bits that shipped with Visual Studio 2015 CTP 6. And then one has like an older build of beta 3, you know, some random dev build that I was using at the time. And they're both on here. And all I did is I went into Visual Studio and I did a publish gesture with the application. Publish. And instead of publishing to like Azure, what I did is I said publish to the file system. And what that gesture does is it takes your app, it packages it up, and then it just spits that bundle onto some folder on disk. Yeah. And I copied that to my USB key. So let me pop this guy in here. And what we're going to try and do is we're going to try and run two different ASP.NET 5 apps that are running on completely different versions of the CLR, the VCL, all that kind of stuff off the USB key.
Cool.
And you could pop this into anybody's laptop, and it should just work. So here's the two apps. We've got a beta 3 version and then some dev build of beta 3. If we go poking into this app, notice that the commands got actually, when it's bundled, they're actually generated CMD files for the command. So you can just double click them at this point cool. Once you've published the app. If we go into our app root and go poking around in here, so here we've got these KRE packages, core CLR. If I go digging around in bin, somewhere in here is the CLR itself. Where is it? There.
Core CLR DLL.
There is core CLR DLL. So it's the CLR, the VCL pieces that you need, like the specific packages, all in one happy folder. Let's try and run it. So let me go here. All right. So it's beta 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's tripe. Now here I can just run the web command, and that should do the equivalent of kweb. That's what that's going to do. So it's going to do like a web listener hosting.
And I can see the lights running away
flashing.
Here. It's USB 1.0, so it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah, it is a little slow off of the...
For production environments, please do not run them off of USB keys.
At the same time, while that's doing its thing, let's also go to the other one. Wow, it's taking a little while. And we're going to, okay, great. So that one started, and that one's hosted on port 5001. Let's make sure it's actually up and running. Okay, so there's a MVC 6, the latest beta 3 bits app. Let me run this guy. This is an old version of beta 3. Still an MVC 6 app.
Blinking away.
More blinking.
Blinking away.
More
for
blinks.
Those of you that can't see the blinky.
Okay, that one started. There we go. So this has got the older UI from a previous version of the template. So two apps side by side, they don't affect each other at all. So you can have like an old server, maybe not that old, but maybe it doesn't have the latest version of the full .NET framework on it.
Yeah.
You can take the latest version of .NET Core, deploy it with your app onto that server, and it'll work just fine.
Cool.
So that's bring your own CLR.
Awesome. This is one of my favorite topics.
Cross-platform. So I'm running on .NET Framework, I can run on .NET Core. You can also run cross-platform on a Mac. You can run cross-platform on a Linux machine. Today we run on Mono. Mm-hmm. We have versions of our CLR hosting logic that is based off of Mono.
Yep.
But we announced back in November that we are working on a version of .NET Core that will run cross-platform on Mac and Linux. An open source version of .NET Core, fully supported by Microsoft, production ready. that can run on Mac and Linux.
Cool.
Should we look at that real fast? Just show you what that looks like. So I've gone ahead and set up a Mac here. So I went ahead and set up ASP.NET 5 on this machine. Mm-hmm. To figure out how to do that, when you want to set up a Linux machine or a Mac machine, where you should go is you should go to our GitHub repo, github.com/ASP.NET/home. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then here is where you can find all sorts of information on getting started with ASP.NET, but including like how do you get started with OS X or Linux.
Cool.
So I just followed those steps. There's a homebrew formula that you can use to get ASP.NET 5 set up on the machine. Mm-hmm. I've also gone ahead and scaffolded out a simple MVC 6 app. Like if I list here, you can see I've got an app. We can look at Project JSON, and it looks the same as before. The only difference really here is that there's an additional command called Kestrel.
Yep.
Kestrel is a cross-platform web server, managed web server that sits on top of libuv, which is the Node native library for doing opening a listener. We built a cross-platform web server called Kestrel that you can now use, and so that's what I'm going to do to run this application. But everything else is the same. This is just like if I more startup.cs, you can see I've got some use MVC code mm-hmm. here, setting up the MVC routes. And then I can do K, in this case it's Kestrel. That was the command we saw on Project JSON. Run this guy. So this is an MVC 6 app with some of the older UI because it's an older scaffolding running on top of a Mac.
That's awesome.
So this is completely new, right? Like this is now .NET that anyone can use. Like if you're running on a Mac, if you want to run on Linux, by all means, you can go ahead and do that. We support that.
And so one other thing that I'm working on a show for is you can run ASP.NET 5 Core CLR in a Docker container. That's something that's been created. And I'm going to have the creator of that on the show to talk about how to go and run all this stuff in Docker.
Yeah, if you go to the Docker Hub and search for ASP.NET, you will find that we've actually published a preview version, but still a preview. Yeah, that's the one right there. Version of a ASP.NET Docker container that you can try out.
Yep. So we'll have a show completely surrounding that and figure out what Docker means to us. And
one more thing I mentioned is that once you start developing on a Mac, like what do I do for my tooling? Yep. Well, there's actually a great community effort out there called OmniSharp, where a bunch of folks, some of them Microsoft, some of them just community members, have gotten together and have started building things like IntelliSense formatting for your favorite text editors, like Sublime is here, Atom, Emacs, Vim. If you want to develop on your favorite text editor, you can do that with ASP.NET 5. Like all the build, run, package restore, commands can be run from the command line, and then you can just use your favorite text editor to get a good development experience. That's a purely community effort. It's not even something that we're directly sponsoring.
Cool.
Last thing that will blow your mind is that it's all open source.
That's brilliant.
If you want to participate, you can send us pull requests. If you want to help out with the development, if you want to just watch what we're doing and grab the latest dev build, everything that we do, we provide per check-in. CI builds of all of our packages. You can download them, you can install them, you can ride on the very cutting edge and follow along with our project.
And for those that were paying attention earlier, when you actually said go to our GitHub profile, everything's on GitHub.
Everything is on GitHub. So yes. ASP.NET is the org, and I recommend starting at the home repo. The home repo, did you get it? The home repo has instructions on how to get going, not only with running the product, but also how to contribute.
Cool. That's brilliant. Awesome. That was a lot to cover.
Things.
That was five things, five but that's things. a full hour worth of content. So that was brilliant. I know everyone out there enjoyed it. I had a blast. It looks like you had a blast.
I did, but I have to admit, this wasn't everything. Like, there's actually quite a bit more in MVC 6 in the product. I highly recommend that if you want to get like the next layer of detail, go check out the .NET Conf Talks on Introduction to ASP.NET 5 by Scott Hanselman and Scott Hunter. Okay. And then also there was a ASP.NET 5 deep dive, a runtime deep dive that was done by Damian Edwards and Louis Desjardins.
Great.
And they'll get you really into the bits.
Awesome. So I'm gonna include a couple of links because we mentioned a lot of things throughout the show. We talked about the VS Connect event, which we'll put a link off to the landing page for that. But the most current is definitely the ASP.NET .NET Conf. And we'll make sure that those, especially the two you mentioned, are in the show notes just below the video here. Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
That's it. Try out ASP.NET 5. Let us know what you think.
Hi to anyone.
Hi, Mom.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. I mean, you definitely did blow my mind. This is just incredible stuff to see, and we'll start digging into a little bit more details on the show as well, so for specific scenarios. If you have anything that you want to see, make sure you leave a comment below, and I'll definitely try and get out and find the proper person to show off the feature or whatever. And yeah, it was great. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks to all you out there for joining us, and hopefully we'll see you next time here on WebCamps TV.